What's up, world? Welcome. It's the Positive Truth, uplifting and positive news for a more progressive society. Tim, what are we trying to bring?
Here at the Positive Truth, we're trying to bring awareness, empowerment, inspiration, optimism, and understanding to communities everywhere.
We have an awesome interview today. You can start off by telling us who your name, where you're from. I'm trying to read it and talk. It didn't exactly work.
Well, my name is Fresh, and I'm from Loudoun, Oklahoma.
My bad. Yeah, All I heard was, my name is Fresh and I'm from Law.
You hear me?
I do.
Straight up, man. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on, man. For real. I'm a big fan of the podcast.
That's awesome, man. We're glad to have you, for sure. I'm a big fan, for sure. I've seen you out and perform a few places. I know you performed actually at our backpack drive last year, actually. Can you talk about that, your experience there, whenever you were at U.S. Grant High School?
Yeah.
How was that for you?
Man, it's funny you mentioned that, because there was a picture taken. It may have been taken. I don't know who it was taken by. But it's one of my favorite pictures, like, of my journey so far.
Oh yeah.
Just because, like, I'm in basketball shorts, gray tee, you know what I'm saying, my hair pulled back in a bun, and I'm just out there chilling with the kids. The kids, like, are sitting on the little statue, standing, leaning on it, you know what I'm saying, just chilling, some talking to each other. I ain't paying attention, but, like, it was so authentic, you know what I'm saying? Right. It was so, it felt so impactful, while also feeling like, I mean, we're just on a Saturday morning in the front of a school, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just trying to do a backpack drive, right?
Right, right.
It's community, you know what I'm saying? So it was really fun. And I always enjoy linking with the kids, you know what I'm saying? The future, and just being able to talk to them, engage with them, plus to play basketball, so I gotta give them some buckets.
I hear that, man.
I was just about to bring that up.
he called everybody out on the mic, man. Anybody trying to go hoop, I'll meet you in the parking lot.
Man, I had to, bro.
Yeah, no, man, we definitely appreciate you for coming out there. That's a big part of the reason why we wanted you here.
Thanks for having me.
No, for sure.
Only took us 10 months.
Yeah, only took 10 months. But, you know, I'm glad that you're here. Now, that being said, before we get to your music, because, again, I'm a fan of your music, and I definitely have some questions there. But let's talk about, you threw an event recently. I know I was there. Mm-hmm. I was there actually with one of my teacher friends. And,
dope.
Man, it was amazing. It was a nice little event. Can you talk about that event?
Yeah, man, the Bartender Drink Night.
Yeah,
man. So I'm on a board of a nonprofit called Community Alliance of Oklahoma. And we were in a meeting and we were talking about just different ways to help benefit the teachers in the strike that they were doing when that was happening. And one idea that we had come across, I think in Tulsa, the Teachers for America were doing events called Buy a Teacher a Drink Night, where they were partnering with a bar, or they were actually renting out venues, and they were bringing in liquor and beer, which is even more work, which, I mean, more respect for that. I wasn't trying to put in that much work.
I hear that.
But they did all that, and they brought teachers in, and they said, hey, just buy a teacher a drink night, you know? So we wanted to incorporate that somehow, and I felt like, with me being a hip-hop artist on hip-hop shows as it is, it would be an easy transition just to add that theme into what we do already. So we just decided to do that, put it together. It was a group collective effort, you know what I'm saying? Like, say, okay, help me with everything. I helped them with a lot. And it was just really dope, just because, and I actually posted on Facebook about it. It was like, yo, who are some good organizations who are really helping with, like, student care while teachers are striking, with food for kids who may not be able to eat meals if they're not in school, just to see what organizations we could trust, like, to raise money for and give to. And Matt Hebel wanted to be involved, you know what I'm saying, just organically. So that was really cool. It was impactful, man. We had we raised, I think, $600 total. And I think 200 of that was in drinks. The rest of that was cash, just went straight for childcare and food. It was a really, really dope thing. It's always cool to be doing that.
Absolutely, man. I thought it was amazing, the fact that you even did that. Whenever I saw it online, I was like, wait a minute. I started tagging all my friends on there.
That's love.
Man, I'm definitely appreciated everything that you do. What motivated you to get a hold of these people? What's the organization?
Community Alliance of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So I was actually approached to be in the board for Young Professionals Board for Student for Success, which is basically, this is the first organization I've ever been to become a part of as far as a nonprofit. And their goal is to give professional development, professional clothing to women who are at risk, victims of domestic violence, addiction, things like that, where they house these women, they give them professional development, education. They also give them one suit to go to the interview in, and then if they get the job, then they get two more suits.
Wow.
Or two more outfits of professional clothing. So it started there, and in there I met Chelsea Branham, who introduced me to CAOK, which is made up of a lot of really great people. And Community Alliance of Oklahoma, basically the idea is just to be the connector of nonprofits and organizations, because in Oklahoma we don't have really a progressive infrastructure for people who are progressive to be able to network with other progressives and also figure out a way that we can move as a unit as progressives,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Especially in a state like Oklahoma. So that was the biggest inspiration there, was they just wanted to, they kind of brought me in because they've been doing it for me 4 or 5 years already. So I wasn't a founding member of it or anything. I just kind of came on the back end, and we're still wanting to add as many people as we can who are interested about the work. But we just connect nonprofits, like one nonprofit, their cause may be intersectional with another cause. So maybe women's rights and racial rights. You know what I'm saying? There are events that they can do. There are resources they can provide to each other that can benefit both.
Right.
So that's the goal.
Yeah, that's pretty dope, dude. That's
pretty
wild.
Dope is an understatement.
Yeah, that's for
incredible.
Sure.
Or Oklahoma has the most nonprofits per capita in the nation.
Really?
But
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, but we're not connecting.
Word.
Yeah.
Word. And it's ran like, there are like incredible women who run it. And me, Noel Jacobs is a child psychologist. And he's, dope. I mean, just being around them and seeing all the work that they've done and how invested they are in the community, it's inspiring, man. It's iron sharpens iron, like,
absolutely.
To the core, you know what I'm saying?
Speaking of inspiring, can you talk about the Black Male Summit you did? You were participating in it, University of Central Oklahoma?
Absolutely. So the Black Male Summit, man, Stevie Johnson, who created that, who was tasked with creating that, me and him are really good friends. If I were to consider anybody my DJ, he'd be my DJ as an artist. And something happened over this past year. And basically I was like, yo, I owe you, you know what I'm saying? And he was like, you don't owe me anything, just submit a proposal for this Black Male Summit, you know what I'm saying? Be a presenter. I was like, all right, cool, that's easy. I was supposed to do it last year, I just didn't do it. So I submitted, and I really just kind of submitted just like throwing something together, and it got approved and it got accepted, you know what I'm saying? So I became a presenter, and basically—
What did you present on?
My presentation was, what was it called? Basically it was about self-awareness. It was how just kind of incorporating who I am as a hip hop artist, who I grew up as, how I came in to be that, my journey, and also how that mixes in with my business and being a business owner as a financial advisor as well. So just talking to kids about how basically self-awareness is the key to everything, you know what I'm saying? It made me discover myself. I found myself in hip hop. And after I found myself in hip hop, I started really getting to know my potential, what I could do, and how influential hip hop can be in any field. You know what I'm saying? When I went to New York City, I listened to Chris Emden speak, who is an educator as well. And he really heads the hip hop education movement in America. I mean, him and three other amazing women run it, and basically they kind of spread this hip hop education thing. And in one of his lectures, he talked about hip hop is something that oftentimes kids who grow up in hip hop, they'll graduate high school, go to college, get into the real world, and they'll think like, I have to shed my hip hop in order to conform to the world.
Absolutely.
And he talked about how influential of a force that hip hop is in any field. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's corporate America, whether it's education, whether it's blue collar jobs, white collar jobs, like just how influential hip hop can be just because of how real it is.
How positive it is.
Exactly.
You're just hyping yourself up, believing in yourself.
Exactly.
And respect is there.
Knowledge, self-awareness.
Absolutely.
Straight up. So yeah, long story long, that's
So how many kids did you present to? How many was your session?
I think in my session I had probably no more than 15. Probably 15 to 20. Somewhere between there.
So that's 15, 20 students you impacted in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And there was different sessions each time because Stevie doesn't have enough money right up there.
Right.
So it was like 8 sessions going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you all came together at the end. So
yeah.
Either way, it's a positive.
Straight up. Definitely, man. I was grateful for it, blessed, and it was my first time presenting like that.
Yeah.
And one of my goals is to be a TED Talk presenter.
Okay.
So I feel like that was like a good way to practice that.
Absolutely, man. Even this right here, you know, just
straight
sitting
up
in front of a camera.
Straight up.
Definitely prepare you for it, man. Well, since we're on hip hop, man, let's talk about your music for a little bit.
Okay.
So, and when did you get started?
I started writing when I was 16 years old.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man.
What inspired you to start writing?
I didn't want to at all. What were they called? The franchise, but then Franchise Boy, the White Tee.
Oh, yeah?
When that song came out, you know, everybody was like doing their remixes, Blue Tee, Magenta Tee, Pink Tee. And my friends came to me, I remember like it was yesterday. I was in eighth grade, and we were in English class, and they had came to me and was like, hey, we gonna write to this beat tonight. Write your verse in school today, and let's record it tonight, because we're gonna stay at his house that night. Like, man, like, everybody's doing that. This is corny. I don't want to do this. Like, this isn't me. I'm not a rapper.
Right.
So I didn't write anything. I got to his house, and that night they recorded it. They recorded, like, they played music through the boombox, recording it on, a sound recorder. And then they had, of course, speaking into the sound recorder with their voice. You know what I'm saying?
Youth enthusiasm is incredible.
Word. Straight up.
Gets the job done.
Word. So engineering. You know what I'm saying? So when I seen that, I was like, all right, cool. I'll just write something and do something. And I took an interest to it. So I kept writing, and I became really, really impassioned. And after I dropped like 3 mixtapes in high school, I was voted like most likely to be a recording artist. And it was just all fun, you know what I'm saying? Because my main priority was basketball.
Right.
So we just do it for fun with me and my friends. And I went to college and I was like, I'm not gonna rap anymore. I'm just focused on school and basketball. And I had also just gotten saved in my religious life. And I was like, man, I don't wanna like, I threw out my Carter 3 album that I just bought. I threw out all these different albums and was like, I'm clean. And, I got that summer, of course, I was right back on it.
Right.
And then I had went to college, played ball for the first year.
What college did you go to?
Seminole State Junior College. Came back, and me and my friends over the summer were just kind of hanging out. We made some music, as we always do when we chill. And
doing something positive instead of doing something stupid.
Exactly. And we actually worked on Auto-Tune that for the first time that summer. And the first song I did was on Auto-Tune, that was on Auto-Tune. I hated it, and they loved it. I was like, man, delete this. I don't want this to go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? I'll let nobody hear this. And I went back to school, and they decided to take it upon themselves to take it to the radio station.
Oh, wow.
So they took the song to the radio station, and the song, like, blew up in Long. You know what I'm saying? Like, for probably like the next 6 months, it was number one on top 40 on the radio, like, as far as every song. You know what I'm saying? But it was on the radio, period, for the next 2 years, that song alone. And we called ourselves the Hunted Boys. It was 6 of us. And in Lawton, we were like the celebrities we'd grown up seeing in Lawton. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'd seen POP, EGF, all these people who was always did their thing, were talented. And we got to a point where we were getting paid like $600 a show, you know what I'm saying, in Lawton. These are 18, 19-year-old kids.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's a quick cut advice.
Yeah, right? Big right
yeah.
Now.
Yeah. So we would
cut advice to do what you want. Like, have fun?
Straight up. It was a life, man. It was dope. And it was fun. The music was crazy. The connection was crazy amongst us. We had some memories, some great times. And so from there, we signed a bad contract, which is my fault. And we had to split up in order to continue operating as artists. So when that happened, it was already kind of coming to be because they were more so like Dallas dance music. I was more so like I am now, me and my little brother both. And so we were already kind of distancing ourselves, but it ended up being the best thing for everybody. And I didn't wrap it off for the next 2 years because I was still in school and I went to OVU. So I was focused on basketball, I was finishing up school. And then after I quit, after my eligibility is up, my eligibility was up playing basketball. I had 1 year to still finish school. So it was like, all right, I'm either going to pursue basketball professionally or I'm going to do this music thing for real. And I decided music, of course. And that's when I really got serious. Now it's 2013.
Okay.
And so long story long, long way around it, long way to get to it. I started writing when I was 16, but I really started like operating as a true artist in 2013. So since I was 23.
So we're 5 years now, into the future. You just dropped a video recently, 25-8.
Yes,
you know, it's on my iPhone. I listen to it constantly when I cut my grass. about that video, man, it's pretty dope.
Thank you.
Like, what motivated you to do that video like that?
Man.
Also, link in the description.
Straight up. Check that out. Shot by Real Sharp Films. Man, we shot that video twice. I dropped the song in 20. I wrote it in 2014, dropped it in 2015, shot the first video 2016. Didn't work out with the people I shot it with. Shot it again 2017. That worked. And then we dropped it, of course, a couple months ago. What made me want to do it, man, is the song has like, for me, that song is like a real big part of my journey so far. Because for one, it's been my most popular song that I've had up to this point. And in that, it's really interesting because the elements of the song really embody who I am and who I've kind of come up to be and how I've come up. So like with the Little Sahara, it really kind of articulated like the Desert Storm feel, a military feel of the song, where to me, the song feels like it's sergeant drill music, you know what I'm saying? Where you have these strong sounds. It's almost like marching, you know what I'm saying? And growing up in Lawton, Fort Steele, Oklahoma, a lot of our life was military, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of my friends moved there because of the military, you know what I'm saying? And the first introduction I had really to the military was Desert Storm, because back when I was in elementary school, that's when it was happening. And a lot of my friends either had their parents there, or they just came back, or they had been there before. So that was a big part of the Little Sahara part. And also, I wanted to have cinematography and have some real quality to my videos. And I don't want to just do things just to do them. You know, I want to have quality. If I give it to somebody, if I expect somebody to take time to watch it, I want to take time to make sure it's worth their time.
No wasting movement. Straight I like up. That, man. That's what's up. That makes me dope even to watch it again, because I noticed everything was in the desert, but the fact that, oh, man, right. Everything's just blowing up in my head right now.
Yeah, man. Then I wanted to incorporate, like, everybody in it, just because, like, everybody can relate to that concept, you know what I'm saying? Like, the original concept, which I'm not going to talk too much about, because we moved that to a different song that we're going to release later. But the purpose of it was just, it's so transcendent from everybody, every culture, every race, every walk of life, every class, every income range. It's just, all you want to do is make this work, you know what I'm saying? And take care of what we need to take care of. And so I wanted to have as many people as I can from as many different kinds of walks of life, especially the fact that they were being authentically supporting me for the past few years. That was even bigger. And like we mobbed out there in like 4 or 5 cars. And it's on 6:30 a.m. one like Tuesday morning, and went out there, couldn't shoot in the desert. All the shots you see in the desert, statute of limitations is up, hopefully, was not supposed to happen. We snuck all of them. We went out there with a Ford F-150, got stuck in the desert. The ranger had to come pick us out. He was like, y'all have paperwork, insurance for everything. He was like, you try to fake it, like, yeah. No, y'all don't, can't ride it. So they were like, y'all can't do this. So we ended up acting like we were gonna leave, and then we just shot back out the desert, like just shot those scenes. That's why it's like, it's just me and that. And a lot of the shots, like we're actually going, you know? And then we had to like go and hide in a little area for me to like kind of get out and rap. But it was supposed to be a lot different than that, but we'll work on it. But that, and then of course with the Plaza District scene, it was the same type of thing, just kids, men, women.
Making a positive impact.
Exactly.
Like it, man. That's what's up.
What are your goals for the future for your music?
Short
term and long term.
To stay true to myself, stay true to my life, my values, make valuable product, and just be authentic, really, man.
You've been doing that, though. That's why you got such a buzz around here, positivity, man.
And I try to, like, control what I can control. You know, I can say BET Awards or this, or, like, I don't like to be self-indulgent at all. And it's easy for me to be self-indulgent and catch myself being self-indulgent. So I try to, like, put up these parameters to where I just control what I can control, so I don't got to worry about that.
I like that. I like that.
But, yeah, so I think if I can do those things, everything else take care of itself.
So how can we reach you, man? Is there any performances that you got coming up that, you know, people can go to?
Social media.
Yeah, nothing too much. No G in the number two. Social media on Twitter and Instagram. TheFresherAir.com. You can find everything fresh. You can text the word fresh to 345-345 and respond with your email. You can rejoin the mailing list and get updates on everything. Get exclusive releases. I actually have an EP. I haven't released it all. It's only available to my mailing list subscribers, as well as a video. So that's one way. And then as far as shows, now we have quite a bit coming up. We got Heart of Hip Hop next Thursday. We have the World Culture Music Festival coming up. We have the Wild 104.9 Birthday Bash.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm excited for that. There's a lot.
You're a financial advisor. You're playing basketball and you're doing all this. Are you sleeping, man?
I don't play basketball no more. I'm a has-been as far as that goes, man.
Aren't we all three are. It's all good. I'm just saying, are you sleeping?
I am. I mean, I'm not as busy as people think I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hate how people, like, a lot of the time people will try to say, oh, I'm super busy. I'm busy about this. It's like, I mean, I just... There's what you have, what you want to do, you make time for, you know. I spend way too much time on social media, so I can never say I'm too busy because I have all that time that I could be using on social media. But yeah, man, I'm getting sleep for sure. For sure.
Well, we respect the hard work.
Appreciate that, man. Like,
do you have a favorite quote or verse?
Yeah, that's the last thing you gotta ask for sure.
Yeah, man. I'll probably take this off the top of my head.
Get excited.
The quote about, I think it was by Harry Truman, and it was just about the gladiator in the arena, where it talks about spectators always know the exact thing that the gladiator should do, you know what I'm saying? Because they're not in it, you know what I'm saying? It's easy to be comfortable, sip your iced tea, kick back, and say, oh, you should do that, you should have done that. But if you're getting kicked in the mouth and you're worried about staying alive and you're worrying about what am I going to do next, it's a whole different mentality. So that one, or the composer has to turn his back to the orchestra or to the crowd to direct the orchestra or something like that.
I like that one too.
To go along with your first one, you know who Guru is?
Guru.
From Gangstar.
Oh, yeah. Young Guru.
Guru had a verse. He was like, it's always easier to give advice than it is to live your own life.
Word up. Straight up. Definitely. I've actually, like, as a hip hop artist, people come to me for advice for whatever reason, you know. And I think it's because, and I don't want to say that like it's because
you're smart and positive impact when they listen to your music.
Yeah. Word, I can see that, and it's like, of course, with Art of Rap and the different things we've done over the past 2 years, I can see some kind of image maybe seeming like I'm doing a lot more than what's really being done right now. Because right now I'm trying a lot, I'm working a lot, I'm pushing a lot, but nothing is where I wanted to be at, you know what I'm saying? I'm not smart enough on front, I want to kind of front for anything. But people ask me for advice because they have this idea or impression, and that's dope, I respect it and appreciate it. But I tell everybody, like, man, I'm in the same boat as everybody else, you know what I'm saying? Like, if for me, if I was to give somebody advice, I feel like I would steer them more out of the direction that they're supposed to go than anything else, because, like, who am I to tell anybody else what they should do or what they need to do, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't even tell myself what I need to do, you know what I'm saying? I'm still trying stuff out myself. And I think a lot of the times people get caught up in ego and trying to give advice and not really caring about what's best for them to use, but more so just wanting to give them something to where they can look at them as, man, he knows a lot, you know, or man, he told me this, just to give him glory or whatever, you know what I'm saying? I want to help somebody get to where they're going. I don't need the glory for myself. Okay. And I'm scared of that. I don't want to feel that. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to.
They're asking you for advice because they respect the hard work you put in, man.
Right. I feel like a lot of people they want to make that next step to follow their passion. They see you doing it. So they're like, you know what? Let me talk to him so I can do that. I know I do that to myself. When I see people following their passion, they're happy with what they're doing. I'm like, yo, you know, what did you do to get there? And I definitely see that in yourself. You know, you're doing a lot of different things. And I get what you're saying. You're humble. Humble as I don't know what right now, to be honest with you. And it's dope to hear you say that. But at the same time, man, you're doing a big right now in Oklahoma City. I feel like you are.
Thank you, man. You know,
somebody that grew up on
the
southwest side of Oklahoma City, you're doing a lot of positive things out there. You're doing the Black Summit. You're on the Positive Truth right now, hip hop shows, you're giving back to your community. You're doing a lot, man. Whether you can believe it or not, trust me, I can see people ask for advice. You're following your dreams, you're giving back, you're doing everything, man. It's okay. It's cool, man. It's cool.
And I always follow up, like when I tell them that, I always follow up with like my only advice, if anything, is just like fail as much as you can, be made fun of, get laughed at, feel stupid, fail, do the impossible, and let it not work. Just do what you yourself tells you to.
Exactly.
Your voice, the inside of you, is going to tell you what you need to do, and you got to listen to that.
Absolutely. That's the best advice you can get.
Word.
For sure. Well, you got any more questions, JP?
No. Follow Fresh at all the links down below. Check out the video.
Yeah.
Also, Positive Truths down there, too. We appreciate you coming on, though, man.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it, bro.
Next time you do something good in the community, come back on. We'll hype it up.
Word. I appreciate that. For sure.
For sure, man. And on that note,
we're out.
Stay positive.